Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One is Mark and John's the co-host. They're alive. They are not ghosts. It's Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams. It's a nightmare, not a dream. Five Cold Screams. It's Five Cold Screams.
Hello.
Welcome to 2 Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who's joining us.
Well, he's a comic, writer, TikToker. Heard of it? He's also the friend behind the viral sensation Gay Frat Friend. It's Todd Masterson.
Yay! Hi.
Hello.
Welcome.
How's it going, Todd? Thanks for being here. This is our last entry in our Five Cold Screams. It's our month of horror movies, so this is the last one before Halloween.
Thank you so much for letting me close out your month.
Does Halloween have any like special significance for you? I mean, it's hard this year.
I mean, I'm gay, aren't I?
It's true.
Halloween is gay Christmas. It's October's my favorite month of the year, and not to bring it down off the top of the
No.
I need this election to happen so bad that I've been wishing away October, which it makes me sad because I want it to be October 12 months a year, you know?
It's hard to enjoy it this month when like, what is it? November's 4th is the election day?
The 3rd is when it is election day, I believe.
Yeah, November 3rd.
Jesus Christ.
We should also say that this is coming out on, we're recording this the night of the first debate, and this is not coming out though until October 28th. So a whole month of stuff has happened that we don't know about yet.
Right? We could just guess, be like, wow, I'm really glad those aliens landed on our
team. Honestly, really I welcome us. Them. I remember that girl, Firuza, I think it's Firuza Balk in Independence Day when she runs to the top of the U.S. Bank building and says, like, welcome.
But I know who you're talking about.
You know what I mean? She's got a Firuza Balk energy.
Yeah. And honestly, having seen that movie a million times, I still would be her. I would still.
Absolutely.
If aliens hover over Los Angeles, I will be the first on top of the U.S. Bank building. Yeah, exactly.
We can only do it.
It'll either be sweet, sweet death, or you'll be one of the first people on the ship.
Right, right. They'll revere you as a god.
Yeah.
This Halloween, not only would it have been in a regular year, it's on a Saturday. It's also, I think, a full moon.
Yeah, and the 3rd is daylight savings time. So it's an hour longer.
And I think we're also, Mercury is getting out of retrograde on the 3rd as well.
I thought it just got out of retrograde.
It happens 3 times a year.
That's too much. Maybe it's just things just happen. Maybe Mercury in retrograde has nothing to do with anything. Just a thought. I don't know.
Yeah. It's something to ponder, I guess. Sure.
Are you a big fan of like horror movies in general?
Oh, God, yeah. Every year. So my husband, Rob, and I, about 8 years ago, I think, maybe 7 years ago, we started this tradition of watching an entire franchise in the month of October.
Oh,
and
nice.
Our first one, our first ever franchise was Friday the 13th. And we watched every single one, including the remakes.
There's a lot of that one.
And the crossovers. I think it was like 13 or 14.
It's Something like that.
It's a lot.
Every other day.
And, yeah. And then, yeah. And then the next year we did all the Nightmare.
Sure.
Right.
All the Freddy movies. What are they called?
Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah.
Yeah. We did all those. And then we did all the Saws 1 year. Last year we did all of the Chuckies.
Those are fun. Those get progressively gayer and crazier as they go.
They do. They get progressively gayer and they get progressively more like cable access, almost like Skinamax. Like one of the last ones, it looks like it's filmed on a cell phone with an Instagram filter. And it's just so homemade. And then the remake last year was just bonkers. Yeah, so we always do a franchise. And it's funny, we're kind of out of franchises. So,
Matt, I suggest Final Destination.
Well, okay, so that's on the list. We were thinking about that. But, like, we also love, like, a monster. You know, like, one.
So you can do, like, all Dracula or all Frankenstein.
Yeah,
you could
do, yeah. We did Halloween.
I'm going to watch every Dracula movie. It's going to take me 7 years.
Yeah. We did all the Halloweens 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's funny because I learned in that same year, I've lived in LA for 14 years, and I learned 2 years ago that two of the houses, I mean, it was filmed here, and two of the houses, one is in Pasadena, and one is 2 blocks from my home. So.
Oh, wow. Did you go make a special trip?
We did. And it's funny, the Michael Myers house, I believe, is in Pasadena, and the Laurie Strode house is right by our house. So we went to... not Laurie Strode, the best friend's house. Can't think of it.
Oh, I don't know. The movie theater from Nightmare on Elm Street for The Dream Child is also in South Pasadena. It's the Rialto. And now it's a church.
I didn't know
which
that.
Is really boring.
The Red Door Elm Street house is around here somewhere too. I just don't know where. I've never been to that one.
I think it's Hollywood. I think it's in Hollywood.
Yeah, a lot of people
I just Googled
it
a few days ago, as you do.
I love that the owners keep it exactly like movie ready.
We went at the very beginning of quarantine when we were looking for things to do. We made a trek to the Golden Girls house, which is in
that's right
Brentwood. I forget where.
Yeah,
west of the 405.
Yeah, I've only ever been there's. It's so funny how many like famous TV houses are in this town, but I've only ever seen the Brady Bunch house a long time ago in Studio City. But it's funny, like a lot of places usually change the house. Or like at least change it from what was on screen, but I think it's I just love that the Elm Street house is like 100% kept how it was.
I mean, like if you're gonna buy it, you might as well.
Yeah, right.
John, are there any like horror movie houses in New Jersey where you're from?
I think wasn't the original Amityville Horror rumored to have happened in New Jersey somewhere? I don't remember.
Was it Jersey or like Massachusetts or something?
Was it Long Island? I don't know.
I don't know.
That franchise is also on our list for this year. We were thinking about doing all the Amityvilles.
Amityville 92, It's About Time, is very fun.
Is it?
That's the one where there's a haunted clock. I brought it up before, but it's on Shudder, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Check it out. Well, speaking of horror franchises... For the last week of our five cold screams, you brought in, The Lost Boys. John, what's the deal with The Lost Boys?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with The Lost Boys. It was directed by Joel Schumacher with the screenplay by Jeffrey Bohm, based off a story by Janice Fisher and James Jeremias. The title is in reference to The Lost Boys and Jay and Barry's stories about Peter Pan and Neverland, who like vampires, never grow up. It tells the story of teenage brothers Michael and Sam, who move with their mother to a small town in Northern California. The angst-ridden Michael soon falls for Star, a beach rat who turns out to be in the thrall of a leader of a local gang of vampires. Sam and his new comic book nerd friends must save Michael and Star from the undead. The cast includes Corey Haim, Jason Patrick, Kiefer Sutherland, Jamie Gertz, Corey Feldman, Diane Wiest, Edward Herman, Alex Winter, Jameson Newlander, Barnard Hughes, and of course, Tim Capello. It was released on July 31st, 1987, was a critical and commercial success, grossing over $32 million against a budget of $8.5 million. Elaine Showalter wrote that the film brilliantly portrays vampirism as a metaphor for the kind of mythic male bonding that resists growing up, commitment, especially marriage. And the film has spawned two sequels, Lost Boys The Tribe and Lost Boys The Thirst, and two comic book series. And that is the deal with The Lost Boys.
So Todd, we asked you to bring in a horror movie. Why The Lost Boys?
Because it's the gayest one I could think of.
It is,
and that's having seen Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Like, did you see it as a kid? Like, did you?
Yeah, the first time. And it's one of those, you know, like when something happens to you when you're like three and that memory just burned into your brain, like tattooed on your brain, and you can all, like, for the rest of your life, you'll think about it.
Yes.
Kiefer Sutherland's face, the first time you see him as a vampire with like all the prosthetics and the contacts and stuff. Mm-hmm. I have two older brothers. One is 8 years older than me and the other one's 4 years older than me. So I was exposed to things at a lot younger age because of my older brothers.
Right.
And yeah, so their faces, that face, Kiefer Sutherland's face is like, has been burned into my memory since very young childhood.
As something that is scary or something that is exciting?
Oh, it was so scary. I didn't watch it again until college, at least in my 20s, because it was one of those that I just, my whole life, I was just like, oh no, that's too scary. I don't like that. You know, and I love scary movies. Like, I'm not afraid of things. But right. For some reason in my head, that one was like, oh no, that one's way too bad.
Like it's like Chainsaw Massacre. It's intense.
Yeah.
It's like Midsommar. Yeah. But then you watch it now and you're like, oh, it's fun. It's,
it's literally like a camp classic that I watch probably three times a fall. Like I'll
three
watch
times
it
a fall.
Yeah.
You're falling too much.
Yeah.
I always watch it in September and then I'll probably watch it a couple times in October.
I think you could also make a case for it being like a fun summer movie too, just because like the beach setting, you know?
Yeah, that's why I think why I like it. It's like a really good summer to fall transition movie because
it's a transitional film.
They're at the beach in Santa Cruz, but they call it, sure, I think, Santa Carla.
Santa Carla.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The most non-Spanish name, Carla. Santa Carla. And and it's like, you can tell it feels like fall, like the leaves are changing. I don't know if there is
a lot of sweaters.
Yeah, a lot of sweaters. The fashion. I mean, we can get into it.
Yeah,
we will.
The fashion of that movie is iconic. I actually dream about the fashion of that movie.
As you should.
Yeah.
So, John, what's your background with The Lost Boys?
I also saw it in high school. It was, I never saw it in the theaters. But yeah, I mean, like, I loved it as a kid. I think it's super fun and stylish. I hadn't seen it in a while, so it was fun to go back and watch it again. And just, like, I knew it was a gay movie, but I didn't know how gay it was. I wonder if it's one of those things where you're like, yeah, it's gay. And then you see it and you're like, oh, wait, it's gay. You know what I mean? That's what it sort of felt like to me. How about you, Mark? What is your history with Lost Boys?
I remember this was a big deal because I'm from San Jose, which is like 30 minutes from the boardwalk. So we would go to the boardwalk all the time. And we thought it was such a hoot that this movie took place. Like, they made it seem like the murder capital of the world. But like that opening montage when they're driving through is pretty accurate. Like, there's just a big mosaic of people. But it was one of the ones we recorded off HBO and had on a tape. And I just remember watching it over and over when I was like 13, which makes a lot of sense looking back.
Sure does.
So yeah. There's parts of like this that I've burned in my mind. One of the main things that was like the grandpa's treats in the fridge has these like peanut butter, like ice cream treats. Uh-huh. For whatever reason, that is something that I have never forgotten.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Have you ever found them and tried them?
I think I did once before the movie, so I've never had them since. So I hadn't seen it in 20 years, and I loved it. I thought it like really held up. I think it's so smart and fun and campy and like charming. And the look of the clothes are fantastic.
So
the production design is everything's, and this whole cast. It's the birth of the Corys. You know, what more do you want out of a movie?
It's a Corys. And I love that they set up Corey Haim as like this fashion horse. That is great. Never acknowledged. I mean, when he meets Corey Feldman, he talks about like his, you know, don't you wish you looked this good or whatever. but it's never really addressed that he's like a fashion horse. And he, at one point wears a shirt that says Born to Shop, which is not like not worn ironically. Like, no one ever says like, oh, look at a boy in that shirt.
Well, he's from Phoenix, you know?
Yeah, he is from Phoenix.
So Todd, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movie ever. So we have a very complex and Byzantine scoring system to which to judge this movie. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. This is going to take about an hour. Don't you worry.
I'm excited.
So we're each going to go through a bunch of categories. Now, at one point, you are going to add a category, which will then be added to the wheel.
How fun.
So then that will be used then on the wheel that we use for every future movie to judge how gay it is. Okay. Let me go through. This is our current top five horror movies. So I want you to, this is their percentage out of total possible points. So our fifth gayest horror movie with a 53.32% is Scream. Our fourth gayest horror movie, 61.81%, Midsommar. Third, 64.92%, Ginger Snaps. Two with a 70.84%, Hellbound, Hellraiser 2, and our current ranking gayest movie ever with a gayest horror movie ever with a 71.84% is Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, wow. That's a really good list. I have never heard of Ginger Snaps. But
lesbian,
it's a Sapphic, Canadian lesbian
werewolf.
Oh, wow, the layers, it just keeps building.
Yes,
I think there might be some direct home video sequel, so that maybe could be one of your October franchise watches.
Best way to build a franchise.
If you had a guess where you think The Lost Boys is going to end up, what would you guess, like percentage wise?
I mean, I would say for the list, it's probably going to be like maybe fourth or fifth, but my personal list, it would probably be first or second.
I think you might be underselling yourself a little bit. I think you're playing cautious, keeping expectations low.
I understand.
All right, well, let's get into it. Our first group of these are the canon categories, and we're going to each score each of these categories in a scale of 0 to 100. Then we take the average of all three of our scores. So the first category is actual gay characters. So how would you rate The Lost Boys on actual gay characters on a scale of 0 to 100?
Does this mean that the character is out of the closet or acknowledges their gayness?
I mean, I think that
would be 100, but since it's 0 to 100, I have to say, rewatching it this time, the thing that especially struck me, as I said earlier, but like, oh, I didn't realize how gay it was Corey Haim's fashion. It was like, he is like, he could have been a young Jim J. Bullock. Like, that's what he seemed like to me in this movie. Like, his fashion was so crazy.
I loved his clothes. I thought they were amazing. They didn't seem particularly... I do think the vampires are the best case for gay. Like, I feel like Star is just the bait.
Exactly.
I
think that Kiefer Sutherland and... what's his name from Bill and Ted?
Alex Winter?
Alex Winter.
Yeah, Alex Winter and those boys, I think, are... all homosexuals, you know. it's never said.
It's never said, but I think that's the whole underlying the whole movie is about seducing Jason Patrick, which what's not to like about that?
Oh my God, he was just a vision. And like when Alex Winter, like, you know, when he's the first one to die, like Kiefer Sutherland, that's when he really explodes in rage.
Right, yeah.
You know, because he killed his sister.
His pass around bottom.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's any actually gay, but there's like pretty kind of gay. You know what I mean?
What's also the thing too, where like if they made this movie 10 years later, there would have been like, yeah, that one's gay. Yeah, there. You know what I mean?
For
like it was so in that moment where they could all but say it.
Yeah.
There's a way like this is an important movie in the fact of like pushing the envelope for like a male sexuality as just being as queer as possible.
It's Joel Schumacher, so of course.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You don't even have to come out of the closet. You are just gay, you know?
Because you're never leaving the closet because it's so fabulous.
Yeah, exactly. So that was probably I would love to read like the source material of this movie to see if any of the fashion talk is mentioned in there or Joel Schumacher.
No, originally the script was based on a script that was supposed to be more like Goonies, and so they were supposed to be younger kids. The Frog Brothers were apparently in the very early draft scripts, like 2 8-year-old Boy Scouts. And Jamie Gertz's character wasn't even a girl, it was a boy. So like it was meant to be like it was sort of like a vampire version of Goonies.
Oh.
But then Joel Schumacher said, let's make them sexy teens.
Yeah,
and exactly. They're like,
a franchise was born.
Yeah.
So what do you want to give this for actual gay character? I will say Corey Haim does have a sexy poster of Rob Lowe on his wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
And when Diane Wiest is your mother?
Yeah. I mean, how could you not be?
Yeah. He also, who's the lady? He has a poster of a lady right next to him.
Molly Ringwald.
It's Molly Ringwald. Yeah. And it's like, it's a picture of her from like Pretty in Pink or Breakfast Club or something, like with a pen and writing in a notepad. Like it's not sexual at all. But the Rob Lowe picture, he's just like full.
Totally sexy.
Just leaned up.
At the very least, he's a bi icon.
A bicon.
So you said 0 to 100.
0 to 100. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'm just gonna give it a. I'm gonna give it a 50, right in the middle, because
50.
No one is out of the closet.
Sure.
Yeah, I feel the same way, but I feel like there's so much going on. I'm gonna give it a 70.
70. I mean, that is like a pretty. Yeah, I think I gotta go. You know, I'm gonna be a little perv and give it 69. Giving it an average of 63 in actual gay carry, which is the highest we've had in the last 12 movies. So eat shit, Midsommar.
Yay.
All right, our next category. How would you rate The Lost Boys on drag queen inspiration? This movie, this one really hit for me, because I think every character has like no one character's personal style is ever repeated. You know what I mean? Like the vampires have a look.
Yeah.
Diane Weist has a look. Max has a look. Sam has a look. You know, Michael's like the boy next door, the only one wearing blue jeans. So I think this, you could identify all the characters. If you were to chop off all their heads, you could identify them by their clothes alone and their aesthetics alone.
Especially Kiefer Sutherland and the boys, like the just the chains and the necklaces and the mullets and the, I mean, they are drag queens.
And they were all like pieced together from like different eras, you know, because they're vampires. They've been around a while.
Yeah. Even Laddie, the little boy wearing the Civil War jacket.
The drum major jacket. Right.
But he can't have been, he had to be a recent kill because he was on a milk
carton. Yeah. He was recent. He was still a child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they found it in the hotel that fell off a cliff.
That's true. Right? Yeah. Yeah. This is what I wore when I was your age.
And if you count Dragula as drag, which
sure.
Why wouldn't?
Then it's fully like, Lost Boys vampire drag. So I would give this a 90.
A 90.
Yeah. No, I haven't specifically seen any drag queens do specifically a Lost Boys look, but it's there. Like
it's right there. Stars, like little white lacy bustier thing.
I do feel was one of the first movies to be like, no, vampires are straight up sexy. You know what I mean? And I feel like that sort of really.
There was
The
Hunger before this.
Okay.
There must be another one.
I haven't seen that one. But I feel like this was at least one of the more popular movies to be like, oh, no, vampires aren't just
scary. Shots fired at The Hunger.
But do we, in The Hunger?
Sorry, Tony Scott.
Sorry.
You never see fangs in The Hunger?
I don't know. I just know you see Susan Sarandon and David Bowie.
Yeah, right.
Which seems pretty clear and pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 93.
93, the year Jurassic Park came out. Honestly, I'm going to go 100 for this. I think this is because the aesthetics is so strong.
Yeah, they are identifiable.
And also Tim Capello, the shirtless saxophonist.
Well, sure.
There's an iconic
character.
And the thing I was thinking too, remember, I forget who won the last season of Drag Race?
The one that just aired?
Yeah, they did Flavor Flav. You know what I mean?
Of All Stars, Shea Coulee.
All Stars, Shea Coulee. Once you do like Flavor Flav, like, Flavor Flav is a drag queen. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be just like a woman in a nice dress.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's my treatise on drag.
There you go. Wow. It's not just a woman in a nice dress anymore.
They're doing Flavor Flav, VH1 stars. Our next category, how would you rate The Lost Boys on gay icons?
Tim Capello. I mean, I know we just said him. He was the shirtless saxophone player. Like that, I feel like honestly, like papers have been written on like sexual awakenings, that happened during that little section. Like it's so iconic. It is so legendary.
Yeah. And I mean, Joel Schumacher, he's not in it, but he directed it. And
his fingerprints are all over it.
A major gay icon.
Diane Weist.
Diane Weist. People love Diane Weist.
Mm-hmm.
Is Jamie Gertz a gay icon?
Maybe in some sections of Long Island, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not a gay icon.
She won't get kicked out of a gay bar.
Icon adjacent.
Yeah.
Are the Corys gay icons in a way?
I wouldn't call them gay icons.
Yeah, not gay icons.
No.
Icons for sure.
For sure.
But yeah, not gay. I mean, yeah.
I do think the Joel Schumacher, Diane Weist, Tim Capello of it all.
Yeah.
Also, vampires themselves are kind of gay icons.
Exactly. Yeah.
The beach, a beach boardwalk is a gay icon.
I don't know.
A merry-go-round, a gay icon.
I think didn't True Blood like define that? Isn't it canon in True Blood that all vampires are bisexual and don't really have like a sexual gender attraction?
Preference?
You would think so. Once you've been alive for over 100 years,
a couple millennia, yeah. You're just like, I'll put it wherever.
Yeah, because I want to say that was like one of the big things was that they're all technically like kind of bisexual.
I only ever saw like the last 15 minutes of most True Blood episodes, but it was always like very well, because I'd be flipping or and it'd come across a True Blood and always something crazy would be happening. So I say, well, I got to see how this ends up.
Yeah.
But I never felt the impetus to like start an episode.
Go back.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, I would give this one 100%.
100?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go 98.
98. Why not 100, John? What's
because there's it? Just not like that. Like I just need like if Bette Midler showed up or if like you know someone
brassy,
someone sort of like walked through.
Divine.
Yeah. Exactly.
Divine was still alive when this movie came out, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think it was like 90 or 91 where she died.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Joel Schumacher and Diane Weiss and I think 100 sounds right. Are we crazy for The Lost Boys? We might be. Given an average of 99.33, which is 1 point higher than Mermaids, and that has Cher.
Wow. It's the vampires and Joel Schumacher that flip you over the edge.
I think it's really Tim Capello that puts it over the edge. I feel like I can't say that enough, how life-altering that scene was for so many people.
Yeah. See, for me, he never struck me as a gay icon, but more just an all-around general sex icon.
But I feel like I think there was a lot of guys, especially like at that moment, who upon seeing that scene were like, can't deny it any longer. If I have the feeling, if I'm feeling what I'm feeling, looking at this shirtless guy who's oiled up playing a saxophone, doing not a great job lip syncing, but still like, there's no denying. There's no way.
Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, I can't. I can't tell myself that Molly Ringwald poster is as important to me as the Rob Lowe one. Like it was just like, there's no, after that, I failed the Capello test.
For literally like, I want to say 48 seconds of screen time. Like he is barely in the film. Yeah.
And yet everyone talks about it.
Exactly. And then he went on to tour with Tina Turner right after this.
Mm-hmm.
As what?
A saxophonist. He's a professional. Player. That's his job.
That was real?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God.
He's talented.
No way. I did not know that.
All right. Our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
Oh my God. Huge.
I mean,
Jason Patrick doing bicep curls as soon as he gets home.
Right. Yeah. Right.
There was also, I never noticed it before, but like the montage when Michael drinks the blood and you see him as like the slow motion overhead shot, like montage of Jason Patrick just in slow motion, licking his lips and essentially having an orgasmic moment.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, there's also the Rob Lowe poster. Mm-hmm. And also after that, like when Jason Patrick like floats back like down onto his bed in that weird montage, and he's just got like, he's just splayed out, like just come, just jerk off on my chest. He's got like a tight ribs, like tank top. Like he's just like, give it to me.
Yeah.
And then also, we got Corey Haiman taking a bubble bath.
Also in the sex scene though, the camera is just about Michael. We just see his chest, his back. That's all we see.
Yeah.
I think you could watch this and know, oh, a gay man directed this. You don't have to be told. It's all there. Mm-hmm. There are no surprises here. So what would we give this for the male gaze?
I'm going to give it another 100%.
Wow.
Yeah, 100. I'm going to go 100 on this one as well. I don't think there's very little they could do to make this hornier for men.
I'm going to give it a 90 just because I would have loved an ass shot. Got to have somewhere to go.
I mean, they are 16.
Although Jason Patrick was not. He was like going to Rydell High with Stockard Channing as Rizzo. Like,
In real life, he was old. But yeah.
When Diane Weiss says, things are going to change around here when you go back to school, I was like, he's in school?
Is he
like working like in an office somewhere, probably?
Yeah.
All right. Giving this an average of 96.67, the Lost Boys doing very well. All right. Our next category, entrances with pizzazz. I was right. Entrances with pizzazz. Well, there one jump flies through a fireplace. into the house.
Yep.
Grandpa has a great one at the end. We hear his horn and then he drives through the living room.
Right.
Pretty pizzazzy.
There, I don't know if this is another category, but there's also pizzazzy exits, like when Corey kills that vampire in the tub and then it wrecks the plumbing of the house.
That's confusing.
Well, as soon as you get vampire goo in your pipes, it's going to wreck havoc.
Yeah,
on
but like the plumbing of the house literally explodes.
Yes.
With like burgundy goo. I don't know.
Like, it is weird that like this, even when the one Alex Winter gets like staked, like it's not really blood. It's like brown sewer
it's like,
water.
Yeah. Why does it look like that? Was that like I'll a 1980s MPAA?
But this is rated R, right?
Is it?
I think so.
Probably just for violence because there's no nudity. Right. I don't even think they say the F word.
I don't think so.
It is rated R.
Right. Wow. It is gory when the vampires, they attack those guys, the punks on the beach, and they like rip their bodies apart and put them on the fire.
The beach Nazis. Yeah.
That is another thing that's like burned in my brain. Sorry, I'm like moving a lot. I got to charge my, I got to plug my laptop in. This battery sucks. When Kiefer Sutherland bites that bald guy on the top of his head, like an apple, like what a weird choice for a vampire to bite someone.
Right. That vampire bat kite has a fun entrance.
Oh yeah, that was a little scary.
Seeing their final vampire looks, like the one you mentioned that's seared into your brain, Todd. That's a good entrance, I would say.
Uh-huh.
Seeing the vampires hanging upside down for the first time.
Yep.
Pretty pizzazzy. And then also the fact that we meet the vampires as they're menacing people on a merry-go-round.
Yeah.
That's some kind of pizzazz.
Oh yeah, the camera techniques of the, you know, the camera is the flying vampire that we don't see, you know, we don't see hands or feet or legs or anything. No. We just know that the camera is
their
flying
POV,
vampire. Yeah. Like at the very beginning when they come down hard on that security guard in his car.
There's a lot of fun entrances in this. Nanook has a great entrance when he pushes the vampire into the bathtub.
Yep.
I was cheering for Nanook.
Yeah.
Yep. I would give this like a cautious 90.
90, you're being conservative.
Yes.
I'm going to give it an 80 because I think there are a lot of good stuff, but there's not like that one big moment of like hacha.
It doesn't become a
Candor and Ed musical at any moment. You know, I just wanted a little bit more.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it an 88, giving it an average of 86, which is 1 point higher than Hellbound Hellraiser 2.
Okay.
Okay, our next category. This one might be tough. Strident women.
You know what? I don't know what strident means. What is strident?
Really, it means like a sort of like, kind of like overbearing, kind of irritating woman, but we tend to try to empower it and make it, we usually tend to make it mean someone who's more like a woman who like, it's going to speak her mind. It's not going to be a doormat.
Like a misogynist would call her a bitch, but we love her.
Oh, right, right. See, I think Diane has that in her, mm-hmm. but she's also very flighty and kind of a ditzy mom. You know, like,
it's pretty low on them. You almost got the impression like if both of her sons had turned into vampires, she'd have been like, okay, I'll do it too.
Exactly.
You
know? Well, she's just pure love and support. I mean, exactly, she is like this is also similar just because we just watched a few weeks ago, Edward Scissorhands, that it is kind of like, oh, she does have like, she is kind of like, I think in a lot of like a gay boy's like dream ideal version of a mom. Right. She's just like, she's disciplined, but she still loves you.
Well, right. At the end, when who's the head vampire? What's his name?
Edward Max? Herman.
Yeah. When he says like, be my bride or whatever, she accepts it. She's like, okay, save my sons or whatever.
So like, grandpa comes in. Yeah. He stops.
Yeah. She's about to let it happen to protect her kids. So
yeah, this movie doesn't have a lot of women. And I do think the ones that are there, the main ones, Diane Weiss and Jamie Gertz, are pretty low. But the woman who was reading the comic book as her boyfriend was trying to like have sex with her in that car. She was probably pretty strident.
We love her. She's elbowing him.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's like, get off me. I have to read this sad sack comic from the 50s.
I love that comics are such a big part of the movie too.
Right? So much eye candy.
Yeah.
So what do you want to give this for strident women?
It's low.
No one's even mentioned Jamie Gertz's star.
Well, and, but she's
not strike. She doesn't do anything.
She doesn't do anything. I mean, she is like an ultimate pushover.
She's like the girl in the bait bus videos that gets the guy in the van and then he puts a blindfold on and then she's over there like on her phone.
I'm going to have to give this one a, you know what, just because like, I think Diane has it in her, I'm going to give it a 10.
A 10.
Just a 10.
I'm going to have to go, I'm going to go 15.
15. I'm going to give it 17 because she does discipline her children when she comes home and like they've ruined her date. Give her an average of 14. All right. I think you're going to make up some points here. Macabre. How macabre is The Lost Boys?
Well, what do you consider macabre? Like what's macabre?
Death, dark, creepy, dark, you know, weird.
Okay.
Bats. I think like Barnard Hughes as grandpa, like playing dead when they first arrive. That's pretty macabre.
That's pretty macabre. That's good. The taxidermy.
All the taxidermy, the like you're eating rice, you're eating maggots. That's pretty macabre.
Yes. Yeah. I wrote down using dried starfish as home decor feels pretty macabre to me.
Yeah.
Wow. Then my mom is very macabre.
Does she love a beach theme?
In a bathroom.
Loves a bathroom. Just a bathroom.
Yep. Every bathroom, my entire life, every remodel has been to make it beachy.
Does she have a jar of seashells?
Always. We had a whole lamp. We had one of those lamps that you could fill.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. We have actually two of those.
You guys are doing very well in the Masterson house. Something about getting dirty sneakers on your pillow felt macabre.
That was weird.
I was like, oh, that's gross.
Yeah.
That was the most upsetting part in the whole thing for me.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Mike, off.
He's not going to do laundry.
Hell no.
Yeah, I would. Well, and the hotel that fell off a cliff and during an earthquake, and then that's where they live.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give this a 95.
95.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 95 as well. It's pretty macabre. 95.
It is macabre, but it's like macabre and like a, you know, spirit store Halloween decoration. Like you're never really that. Like it doesn't feel like it's obsessed with death or anything.
Yeah,
it's more about join the cool cult of like hot boys.
I don't know. I thought like also like the Frog Brothers, their parents, which were like those two like comatose people in the comic book store. Like that's pretty macabre.
Sure.
Yeah.
Giving an average of 95.
What are you giving it, Mark?
Oh, I gave it a 95. Week 95s across the board.
Wow. Nice.
Which is 20 points more macabre than Terms of Endearment. Wow.
Okay.
Right.
I mean.
And Deborah Winger dies in that.
Yeah.
All right. Our next category, dramatic lighting. How would you rate the dramatic lighting?
Oh, huge. This whole movie is lighting. This whole movie, like especially like at the end when the final battle scene, there's red, there's purple, there's green. Mm-hmm. There's so
that,
many.
All that like them driving around their motorcycles where like you can't see them, but you see the lights coming through.
Yeah, all you see is the lights.
Like the moon off, like reflecting off the ocean. There's a lot of shots with that.
Kiefer Sutherland sitting in this spotlight in their lair. Like this white spotlight is on him.
Well, and when he drags him into the sun and he burns his face or burns his hand.
His hand.
Mm-hmm.
The sunlight is so bright and white.
And then when he has that tear, when Kiefer Sutherland has that single tear, like I really did feel for him for a bit. Like his boyfriend just left.
Yeah.
he said that was an accident. It was because the lens was so like hard.
The contacts.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, this movie was shot by Michael Chapman, who was the DP. He also did Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, and 6 Days, 7 Nights. So there's a reason, you
there's
know.
A resume. Mm-hmm.
There's a resume.
He told a story with lighting.
I would say, and I think that so far seems to be a real hallmark of Joel Schumacher films, because this and Batman Forever, which we covered,
well,
John hates for some reason.
No.
The carnival, like just the boardwalk carnival, like that's all true, the neon and the flashing lights.
Right. So what do you want to give this for dramatic lighting? I think it's damn near constant.
Yeah, I'm going to say 100%.
100.
I'm going to say 94.
94. What's keeping it from 100, John?
There's some like very appropriate, but like daytime scenes. You know what I mean? Like it rests a little bit, which I think it should. But still, 94. It's pretty high.
I think I'm gonna give it 100. This is what we're talking about when dramatic lining for me. It looks like a music video the whole time. Giving an average of 98. All right, our next category, vibrato.
So in addition to literal vibrato, we also with this category mean like anytime they take a moment, give you extra and sort of zhuzh it up. So they give you more than it is maybe necessary, but you like it.
Well, the one vampire dies with the stereo exploding behind him for no reason.
Yes,
right.
I thought that
death by stereo.
Death by stereo. That's a very touchy stereo system.
Yeah.
I thought just the constant refrain of though that thou shalt not fall. That's very vibrato.
Cry, little sister.
That's
well,
the
it's the that weird like synth violin. Wow, that always happens. I mean. Back to the vampire that dies in the bathroom when he explodes the plumbing of the house.
Right. There you go.
You know, he didn't just die in the tub of garlic holy water.
No.
He
exploded the home.
Grandpa's like a very weird grandpa. Like he got his TV guide, but doesn't have a TV. And he's got quirks for days.
Yeah, which is very like Kristen Wiig sketch.
Yeah.
Right. Here's the TV guide. Oh, I can't wait to get a TV.
There's
he's
a lot
taxidermy.
Of shots. He's taxidermy. There's a lot of there's shots of them like
so
flying
much.
Over the clouds. And there's
yes,
one point too where
never,
the
never ending story.
Yes. where one of the Frog Brothers puts out a candle with his fingers. Like he just like pinches it. He was like, okay, tough guy. All right. Let me see what you're about.
Corey Feldman like making it a choice to deepen his voice and talk in this weird ultra
like Rambo impression.
Voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like when a teen is deepening his voice maybe around girls or something, you know, like he's literally talking like this the whole movie. And
I guess Joel Schumacher told him to watch Rambo and like Chuck Norris movies before, like, and he said, that's your character.
Yeah. I'm very susceptible to sounds, and it was almost brown noise to me. Like his voice, I could feel the strain in it because I know how hard it is to deepen your voice. And for him,
is brown noise good or bad? What is brown noise?
Brown noise, technically bad noise. It's from South Park.
South Park, and it's a thing. It's like a noise that when you hear it, it causes you to shit your pants.
Yeah. Oh, because I've heard of white noise, and I know there's like pink noise now.
Yeah, so, we've got races now.
I use it just to mean like just like a almost like a gut-wrenching pain noise, just a noise you hear that just you could actually
you
feel pain.
Yeah,
feel pain from hearing that noise. And Corey Feldman's deep voice was that for me.
Like Cameron Diaz singing Little Girls in the Annie remake. That's a lot of brown noise.
Refuse to watch that film.
You gotta watch that scene. Just
why
watch
do you even call
scene.
It a film?
Just watch that scene for me.
Too many strikes on that one.
So what do we want to rate The Lost Boys for vibrato?
Let's give it a 75.
75.
I think it's pretty high for me because I also feel like Joel Schumacher as a director overall, I think his strength is mood and atmosphere. Like, I don't think he's necessarily like all the actors I think in this are good, but no one's giving a performance. You're like, wow, where did that come from? And I think this part of what makes this movie so successful is just like, it's just so about mood. It's so about atmosphere. And that's so what he's good at. So it's like all this extra zhuzhiness of it, even though like the actual plot of it, the actual story isn't that unique or refreshing, but it still is such a fun hang. So I'm going to give it a 92.
Wow.
92. And I don't appreciate the Joel Schumacher slander. I think the story is real tight and moves fun. I think it's a fun reinvent. It feels like a fun line. It moves. It's fun. I don't know. It just feels like a all around crowd pleaser to me.
I agree. But I don't think like it tries something and fails, but I just think it's sort of like its power and its allure is in the atmosphere of it. And you know, Joel Schumacher was a window dresser. Like he's a fashion designer. Like that's where he comes from. And it shows in this movie.
But I also think he knows exactly the movies he's trying to make.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a chunky turquoise jewelry icon.
Absolutely. He lived with Halston.
There you go.
I'm going to give it an 88, giving it an average of 85, which is pretty good. All right, our next category, footwork. How would you rate the footwork in The Lost Boys?
They are hanging upside down by hanging on with their feet.
Yeah, which I love that their feet transform too. To
they're
claws.
So gross, those feet. Yeah. Like, they're not winning any like hot boys over with those feet.
I love that they went like
the Quentin
costume
Tarantino
designer.
Is not taking them home.
No. I love that the costume designer, whoever designed them, was like, no, let's do a boot that goes over their actual foot instead of trying to fake it with like a dummy claw. They literally put a rubber boot over their actual foot. It's like, you could have just faked that.
Right.
But are you talking about like actual like you know stage corrections like movement?
That would be that, the 100 would be like a stomp. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This category came from the movie Chicago, so you know.
I mean, there's not a lot of choreography in it. The motorcycle work going down those stairs couldn't have been easy.
No, Nanook does push the one vampire with his front paws.
Paw work. Into
the, some paw work. Is a paw Diane, not a foot?
When Diane narrowly escapes the other dog running
from a dog. She didn't do that in Hannah and Her Sisters. You didn't see that.
No.
Although she might have been running from Woody Allen at some point. We can only hope.
I don't know if she was his type.
She was a little old.
Yeah.
So what would you give this for footwork?
I'm just going to go 50, right in the 50. Middle. I mean, it's not crazy, but it's not bad.
Right.
Yeah. One thing, I mean, this isn't footwork, but you know, they had a bunch of those like POV scenes where like, oh, you're meant to believe that you are the vampires flying through the air. And there's one where they're leaving the cave where they're at and they just played a footage in reverse. And you could tell if you look at the waves.
The waves go backward.
Yeah.
So for that, but then I did like the feet hanging upside down. So I will
Are
also
you dinging
go 50.
It for the reverse waves?
Yes. I think that was a little lazy.
Lazy. Let's see you operate a helicopter on the beach.
Well, give me a budget of $8.5 million and sure.
No, that all went all into Corey Haim's oversized shirts.
Yeah.
I think all of that literally came from Joel Schumacher's closet. He was like, you are me. Here's what I would wear if I was.
I loved his robe, that like color block robe he had.
Oh, we can get the striped, like, what is that material? I can't even think of the trench coat that he wears, like, the first night, just walking around with the sleeves. Yeah. Linen, that.
Yes,
striped linen trench coat with the collar popped and the sleeves zhuzhed.
To me, he kind of looked like now like a Silver Lake, like normcore kind of person. You know what I mean? Right? Like he looked like a hipster. Mm. Like a hipster's look into Corey Haim and the Lost Boys. There's your new inspiration.
Yeah.
John, what are you giving him for footwork, did you say?
50.
50. I'm going to go 35. It's just pretty much that one hanging upside down scene for me. Giving an average of 45, tied with Hellbound Hellraiser 2. All right. Oh. All right. Next category, animal print.
I didn't say that, but we do have the taxidermy.
Yeah.
And then also in Barnard Hughes's car, over the seats, he had like an animal, like animal skins, which aren't prints, but they're animals.
There is literal animal print in Max's dining room when he's having dinner. You can see it in a chair behind Diane Weiss. There's like a leopard print. Okay. And there's also a snake skin on one of the vampire's jackets.
All right.
It's funny about that dining room. My whole life, like even now when I think about it, somehow got burned into my brain. I thought there was a Nagel in that dining room.
Well, it has big Nagel energy.
Yeah, but then there's not. And I'm like,
what are you talking about? What is a Nagel?
A Nagel?
Yeah.
You remember
have you seen the cover of Duran Duran's Rio ever? Their album Rio? Sure. That's a Nagel.
It's like a... almost like a color blocked print of like a man or a woman with like a very specific hairstyle. Always kind of looked like a young Demi Moore. They were all in gay bars and hair salons.
Very
and,
severe.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've seen an angle, John.
When you look it up, you're going to be like, holy shit.
Oh, that's what it's called. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. In 1987, it was the height of sophistication.
It was. I think, are they in like...
So is it like a hairstyle?
No, it's an artist.
It's a poster.
Oh, okay, got it. I thought it was like a thing. I'm sorry. Okay.
It's a thing.
I think there's some in what's the old Wolf of Wall Street movie?
Wolf of Wall Street? Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say in Charlie Sheen's like Pitt Manhattan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a hotbed of Nagel.
Yeah.
John, you never walked into a Prince Plus
in the
mall?
I just Googled it. I get what you're saying. Okay, sure.
Grandpa's awake.
Oh, a Nagel.
Oh, yeah. Sure. A Nagel.
This is animal print? Okay, sure.
That always reminded me of like the ladies in like the Robert Palmer videos.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That
just
simply irresistible girls.
Yeah. A lot of neck. No hair to cover the neck. A lot of
mostly neck.
Yeah.
So what do you want to give this for animal print?
I mean, I got to say like 10.
10.
There's like nothing.
I'm going to give it 25 for the taxidermy.
25 for the tie. I'm going to give it a 19. Not too much, but there's some. Given an average of 18, which is more than Terms of Endearment, which had 0. All right, Todd. This is the last one in the canon categories. Don't worry. There are 3 more categories to groups okay, of categories. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend The Lost Boys to a gay person?
100. Like, yeah. 100. I mean, it is seriously my favorite fall movie. I pleasure delay myself watching it over the summer because I know how much I love watching it. So my birthday is August 26th. It's at the end of, so I feel like the holidays officially start on my birthday. And then it's Labor Day, and then it's Halloween, and then it's Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, Christmas.
And I, you know, so I love the holidays, which start with my birthday. So I, and fall is my favorite season of the year.
Sure.
So I make myself wait until after my birthday. Generally, Labor Day weekend is when I will watch it for the first time.
So you're edging summer.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Lost Boy edging.
Lost Boy edging. I'm sure that's a category.
Yeah, I mean, I have to go 100 as well. I think it's so great. Even if it's like, even if it's a not this someone's kind of movie, it's like, it's so iconic. It's got so much fun stuff and great atmosphere in it that it's like, even if I don't think you will love this movie, I'll be like, it's a great reference to have. And it's definitely worth seeing. So yeah, it's 100 for me.
It's one of those movies that like when someone says they haven't seen it, I freak out. But when a gay says they haven't seen it, I like doubly freak out.
Right. You're like, go home now.
Yeah. And like when gay babies ask what they should watch, it's always like Paris is Burning, Lost Boys, you know, like it's in there.
Maybe it's in the canon. Yeah.
I would much rather, well, would I watch this over Meet Me in St. Louis? They're different, I would say.
Yes, they're different.
I wouldn't choose one. I would definitely watch this over Funny Girl any day.
Okay.
But I think this is, I do think this is, I'm also going to give it 100 because I do think it is just a pure delight from beginning to, and I also think if you don't like horror movies, this isn't that scary. Like this is about as scary as an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I mean, they literally add glitter to the blood. So yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Which I never noticed until this watched through this weekend that they're covered in like glitter slime after. Why did I never notice that before? That's so weird.
HD. We got HD is what happened.
I was going to say, yeah, we have like the HD-est of HD TVs now. And
okay.
There's so much more to discover.
Yeah. And it's so funny because I always make fun of my husband. I don't generally see high def. Like we always get like a new TV every 2 years because he's like, it's the latest technology. And I'm like, it all looks the same. But now I guess we're seeing things I've never seen before.
So. You got the motion smoothing turned off, I hope.
Oh God. Yes.
Thank you. All right. Now
Rob will turn that, like if Rob had the ability, he would turn that off on displays at Best Buy. Like he hates it so much. Like whenever he sees it, he's like, can I please turn that off?
He's the hero we need.
Yeah.
All right. We're now into the wheel category.
So these are all categories the previous guests have brought in that we put on a wheel here that I on my phone that we're going to spin.
Oh, fine.
And whatever, we're going to spin it 4 times. Whatever category randomly pops up, that's what we are going to judge this movie on.
Okay.
And then after these 4, you are going to add a category.
Okay.
Rye Smiles.
Rye Smiles.
I mean, there's a little bit of like when they're sort of like doing their like maggots, you're eating maggots. Like there's a whole lot of like.
Wasn't
weird
the whole like
sexiness.
Kiefer's entire career is Rye Smiles?
I would say so. Yes.
I mean, he's not quite in like, what's his name? Jack Nicholson territory, but he's up there, especially young.
I mean, at the end when Max is finally revealed as the head vampire, he has that creepy Joker-like smile once his vampire face pops on.
Once he vamps out.
Yeah. Corey Haim has like side smiles when he's like constantly side smiling through the whole film, like at his brother. Like there's this weird flirtation that he has with his brother. Like
one point
he like puts his face on his neck. It's like, what are you doing?
I mean, if your brother was Jason Patrick,
come on.
You'd be like, I'll consider incest.
Exactly. No. Instantly. but yeah, I would say, I mean, Diane has a lot of her signature little flat lip smiles.
Sure.
And her giggles. I would give this a 90. There's a lot of like little.
I think anytime you're doing a movie that's inherently about like seduction, there's going to be some wry smiles.
Right.
You can't seduce someone with a toothy grin. I've tried.
A little mystery. I'm going to go 80.
80, a little more conservative.
A little bit.
I'm going to go 82. I think it's mostly all because Kiefer Sutherland, who I think is generally very good in this movie. He's like,
I agree.
When you're up against Jason Patrick and, you know, Kiefer does have this dark charisma. You know what I mean? You can't not look at Kiefer Sutherland when he's on the screen.
Yeah.
All right. Wheel category number 2. Rye Smiles. I don't remember what movie that's from. John probably knows.
That is from Labyrinth with Ben Schrader.
There you go.
But here we go. over the top production design.
Well, this is what this is category is from Batman Forever.
Yeah. Joel blessed this category himself.
He did.
We should just call this the honorary
Schumacher
category.
100%.
Absolutely.
This is
what we mean.
Yeah.
This is definitely, it's one of those things we're like thinking about now, like, oh, it would have been great as a kid to have like a Lost Boys playset, like you could get for like Star Wars or other things. Like there could be those, the scenes, all the locations, like, are like sort of like allow for that.
Like, don't you want to live in grandpa's house? Like, to me, like that house in, I wouldn't have all the taxidermy because I think taxidermy is a bummer, but I would love just mountainy rustic house that looks like an arts and crafts
classic
style.
Yeah, I was gonna say amazing classic arts and crafts, or a classic California craftsman on a cliff overlooking the
ocean. I'm a sucker for like sliding wooden doors that come together.
Oh yeah,
that's all I want in a house.
Yeah.
Is that too much to ask?
I don't think so.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, it's done by Bo Welch, who also did Edward Scissorhands, I think.
Oh, there you go.
He did. I know he did Men in Black. And he directed the Cat in the Hat movie. I don't know why I know this.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
John, what are you giving it?
I'm giving it 100 as well. Yeah, I think it's right up there.
This is what we mean. I'm giving it 100 as well.
Okay.
That is from Batman Forever, a category I came up with. Thank you very much. Show me some respect.
Okay, here we go. Does it hold up?
Does it hold up?
Yes.
There isn't anything like cringy going, you know what I mean?
There's not like, oh, they made a racist joke, or, you know.
There's no slurs.
A homophobic slur.
Yeah. I watched Bill and Ted Adventure, and they just like, both the first two have, they say faggot or fag in both of them.
Yeah.
What really takes you out of it.
Yeah, there's nothing, there's not even any like nod to someone about to say fag or anything. So, you know, for being a movie about teenage boys, the fact that they never go there.
Right.
I think it holds up. And I think it holds up for women's rights. I would say the only thing is there's not a single person of color in the whole film.
Right.
There's that. It doesn't come anywhere near passing the Bechdel test.
No, not at all. Do they? No. Star and... the mom never
Diane meet, Weiss.
Ever,
nope.
Do they?
No, they never have a moment to talk about like
the
Supreme
Weiss
Court
or anything.
Did Diane
Weiss have a name? She had to have a name.
I wrote it down. She does have a name, absolutely.
Yeah,
what is it? Couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
It's Lucy, because it's a nod to the movie, to Dracula. Lucy is the female protagonist.
But
I do think all the effects are great, and I think it also moves like gangbusters. Like it's never boring.
Yeah, there's nothing like slow about it. There's nothing like you would need to, that doesn't make sense.
If you were making it again today, you would be like, but we're not doing that. There's very little about it.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I don't think.
They would just add a ton of useless CGI and it would look ugly.
Exactly.
No, but I just mean like, you know, like if you remake, I don't know, like Breakfast at Tiffany's, you'd be like, except one part.
Everything with Audrey
Hepburn.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all of the Mickey Rooney.
Yeah.
I would say, I would give this 100. I think the whole movie holds up. And if you did a remake, you could include every single thing from it.
Right.
I think.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to give it a 97 just because I feel like if you were to make it today, you'd push things a little bit farther. And also, I don't know. I think you would actually make a definitive choice about Corey Haim being gay or not, or maybe some of the other vampires. Yeah. And also, I think like having more ethnic diversity in there too would be nice. And maybe some stronger, more active female roles.
So only 3 points for lack of because diversity.
Because it's not, because I don't think they do something
wrong.
That's
what you're worth. Okay.
No, it's because it's not like they did something wrong. It's just that, like, they didn't go as, you know what I mean? It's not, Go ahead.
Make fun of me. Of course, that's what I'm here for. Hello, we've done 70 episodes of this. I'm also going to give it 100. I mean, this is one I rented it and then ordered the Blu-ray right away. It was like, I'm going to be rewatching this every year.
Yeah, like,
this is my Halloween staple now. Give an average of 99. All right,
alrighty.
Wheel category number 4. Does it hold up? Is straight from our second episode. What about Bob?
Okay, here we go. Tan. How tan is this movie?
Oh. Does that mean like skin color?
Yeah, it's. I mean,
the Coreys are pretty tan.
Besides the like hides,
Jameson is a little bit, yeah.
And
the
taxidermied
hides.
The opening montage, or everybody at the beach, you know, when they're arriving in the city. There's a lot of tan people there. It is set at the beach.
Oh, I will say there is one. Yeah, there is one scene at when they're driving into town of like four older Mexican men leaning against a wall that look like they're on like break from, you know, like a lunch break from a construction job. Like I think they're working.
Gotcha. Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure.
So there's that. But
for a vampire movie, I would say it is pretty tan. For a vampire movie.
I know Kiefer Sutherland is as pale as it gets.
For sure. But yeah. Jason Patrick's, Jamie Gertz looks pretty tan to me. And also, Hello, Tim Capello.
That's true.
Is that their more iconic tan?
I
name
very
it.
Few,
you have 3 seconds.
Right. Okay. Tonto.
That is probably, I'm digging you 3 points for racial insensitivity.
Yeah, you're bringing up the Tim Capello argument. It's pretty hard to fight that.
Also, he is in it for 90 seconds, but still.
Generously, yeah.
It makes
yeah.
It's, we've never.
It's an impact, yeah.
You never forget it.
Yeah, he is aggressive at night tan as well. He's nighttime
night tan.
True.
For Tim, I'll give it a 5.
A 5 out of 100?
Yeah, because he's literally just tanned. You know, like he has
he's
a
also greased.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's hard to be greased and hold a saxophone. That seems like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty pale because it's a vampire movie, but we do have Tim Capello, so I'll give it a 50.
50, wow, John. Oh,
well, that makes it sort of even.
Sure. I'm going to give it a 25 for tan. Give it an average of 26.67.
All right,
Todd, the time has come for you to add a category that will be added to the wheel and one day might be added, become a canon or a bonus category. So do you have something in mind?
Can it be adult?
Of course.
The only thing I can think of, and maybe I don't know if anyone's done this before, but does it give you a boner? Are there any, but what's the boner rating?
Like anything for the spank bank?
Yeah, exactly.
Spank bank material.
Exactly. What I'm making any deposits into the spank bank.
Spank bank and deposits.
For that, I would say 100.
Anything in particular?
I mean, just the, all the.
I barely know you and I've asked you.
Jason Patrick, just all of him, his hair, and I don't even like long hair on men, really. Mm-hmm, but right. Like his hair, his eyes, his jaw, his voice, his just general shape,
his energy,
the way he cares about his little brother.
Yeah,
just all of it. And then that like weird raw sexuality of Kiefer Sutherland and
some of those other vampires are pretty hot. The nameless ones, there's like, they all look like models.
I thought, who were the blonde twin pop brothers? Twins?
Nelson?
Nelson! I thought that, like, for a long time, because I was too young for Nelson, I think. When was Nelson?
One's too young for Nelson.
Eternal.
I think it was like 89 or something.
I was going to say, I was born in 80. So I think I was a little too young to appreciate them as, you know, pop.
Oh, you weren't too young to appreciate them.
Yeah.
But I feel like I didn't exactly know who they were. Also, I grew up on a farm in the middle of nowhere in Missouri. So I didn't really have a lot of access to like what people actually looked like from the radio.
Sure.
But I think I saw maybe a picture of them once and then saw that movie and I was like, oh, that's them. I felt the other two boys that barely talk were Nelson.
Were Nelson. I wish I'd been in a different world. Yeah. Could have been Nelson.
Yeah.
Sure, you don't want to change your category to could have been Nelson?
Could have been Nelson.
John, what do you want to give for a spank bank deposit?
I mean, yeah, you got to go 100. There's just so many options here.
Yeah, you got to go 100. This is a pretty horny movie. Give it an average of 100.
Yeah.
All right.
Now we are into the bonus categories.
So these are categories that it's just a bonus. It's just going to be a percentage from 0 to 10. So if it doesn't score high in this category, it doesn't penalize it. These are all just bonus points it could get.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right. So our first, we're going to score at 0 to 10. Our first one is Makeover Montage. How would you rate it in Makeover Montage?
I don't necessarily think there's a makeover, there are some, but there are montages.
There are a lot of fun, like there's the montage where he's essentially becoming a vampire when he drinks the blood and then has sex. Is that the same scene where he has sex with Jamie Gertz?
No, that was
a different one, I think.
Later. There's them like making over the house, getting it ready for battle.
That's true. Yeah. And also the opening where they're driving into town.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Though. Just literally the opening credits is a montage of driving through Santa Cruz or Santa Carla.
Well, they call it Santa Carla because the neighboring county is Santa Clara.
Oh.
San Jose, I'm from Santa Clara County. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're...
Congratulations.
Thank you.
But yeah, I would say what, 80%?
Eight?
Are we doing
eight?
Are we doing
zero out of 10?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Eight.
Eight.
I'd say there's not like a classic, but there are some fun montages where they are like getting ready for battle and stuff. So I'll give it a 4.
A 4. Wow. I'm also gonna give it an 8. Because I forgot about the one getting the house ready, John. I think that's what we're talking about, makeover.
Oh, yeah, the gigantic bag of garlic. When they make they get the holy water. Yeah, because I said to Rob, I was like, I never noticed how big that bag of garlic is. And I've worked in restaurants and done catering and never seen a bag of garlic that big. But then he was like, they're right next to
Gilroy.
That's from Gilroy. Yeah, so sure. I was like, oh, that tracks.
Mm-hmm. You drive through Gilroy, you're going to smell garlic. It's wonderful. Yeah. I'm going to give an 8 because I don't think there's every one, but there's a totality of the 3.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I think. All right. Our next bonus category, cheerworthy cameos.
I mean, Tim Capello.
I was going to say, keep going
back. Tim Capello.
I'll go back to that well again and again and again. He's only in that one thing, so he's definitely a cameo.
Yeah.
Sure.
I missed the Hollywood Forever screening of it. I think it was last year, or maybe 2 years ago. But I can imagine at that screening, as soon as he came on, everyone cheered. And if they did a Rocky Horror style viewing where they added things, he would definitely be part of that script.
There's also the woman in the opening montage kissing a rat.
Yes. Letting a rat eat out of her mouth.
Yeah, I think that's even more disturbing.
Yeah.
And then also, not only do we have a comic book shop, which for me is like catnip for cheerworthy cameos, all the covers, we have a video store.
Yeah.
That's
which
true.
I stopped tracking all the Kiss of the Spider Woman. Hello.
That was there. Oh, and the actress, there's an actress who played the cashier in the video, video store, who's, she's like credited in the opening credits, but like they just cut her part to just that one scene where she's like, yeah, whatever. But like she is still in the opening credits. Who is it?
She had a real downward spiral on that, the screening. Yeah. The premiere.
Oh, that sucks.
Kelly Jo Minter, who is also from a Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Oh. So what would you give this for cheerworthy cameos, Ton? There's a few like little, there's a ton of little ones, I would say.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I would say 4.
A 4.
I'm going 10.
10.
Tim Capello. I mean, like, it is iconic. It is just that one thing. It is totally a cameo. Seriously. You can't argue it's not. It is iconic. People cheered in many ways, not just with their hands applauding. So yeah, for me it's a 10.
You know what? I'm also gonna give it a 10.
Wow.
Giving it an average of 8. It doesn't make sense. Okay, our next category, pool trouble. I would rate the pool trouble.
Like swimming pools?
Generally.
Sure, generally, yeah. But we also have like Haim in the bathtub and the other guy who...
I was going to say there's a lot of bathtub work.
There's some bathtub
and the
work.
Ocean.
Yes,
that's
the
true.
Ocean, the ocean, I mean...
The biggest pool we have.
Yeah, I mean, for cameos, the ocean was a pretty big cameo.
In one scene, though.
Yeah, but there's no pools specifically.
Not really.
I think for the bathtub work, though, I'm going to give it a 5.
A 5.
I'm going to give it a 4 for the bathtub work.
4. I'm going to give it a 3. A bathtub, to me, not enough of a pool. Give it an average of 4. All right, our next category, witches. How witchy is The Lost Boys?
Vampires or witch adjacent? Like, there's something
absolutely
that gets overlappy.
Yeah. Well, and like Star, I honestly thought Star was a kind of a witchy kind of, some kind of like daywalker priestess kind of
sure,
girl they
sure.
needed to help them with, until you find out that she is also a vampire. But yeah, like witchy specifically, there's not really.
But it's not witchy, I would say.
Yeah,
I agree.
Because there is the, you know, the bottle of blood that turns him, like that's not a traditional vampire turning. So there's clearly like a spell or something about it, you know. Also, the blood looked like cloudy cranberry juice. Yeah. Whatever was in that bottle, like it almost looked like red alizé, you know, like it was,
right.
It was like a foggy red. So I would give it an 8.
An 8.
I'll give it a 4.
4. I'm going to give it a 7. I do think vampires are witch adjacent.
Yeah.
You could call a vampire a witch. Why not?
Well, also, sure. You know, like he glamored him with the Chinese food.
Thank you.
That's true.
Some respect for glamour.
So there are spells.
Absolutely.
Involved.
All right. Our next category, gay actors playing gay roles.
Sadly, no.
I don't think it happens.
I don't think it happens.
Yeah. I think technically we have to say 0.
I say 0 as well. Luckily, it's the bonus round, so it's not going to affect
it. It's
just
bonus. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Next category, themes of mothers.
Oh, well,
yeah,
huge.
Yeah. We got Diane Weiss.
And that's the whole scheme at the end.
Yeah,
that's
Herman's
entire
like,
scheme. Is,
he said, I told you, yeah. Boys need a mother.
Yep. Right. So I would go 10 on this one. I would go opposite of the last one. I would go 10 because she is, and motherhood is like one of the main stories of the movie.
Right. I do, and it doesn't kind of break your heart anymore when she asks him, when she's waiting for him on the porch, she says, aren't we friends anymore?
At that moment, I was like, this movie does not deserve Diane Wiest.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? This is
but
perfect.
I'm glad it has her.
This denigration of trash. I don't appreciate it.
Denigrating.
Well, and like, I, after watching the movie, I don't think that Star is Laddie's mom.
No.
I don't think
she's his sister. We don't really know how they got Laddie, but she has a motherly quality. I mean,
she is like a mother to him, definitely.
To him, yeah.
And if you're this gang of like gay vampires, who's the one saying, hey, you know what? We need a shitty little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah. I don't understand.
What is he going to bring to the table?
Nothing.
Soften their crew? Like, was it? Because especially because.
Well, what if they were like attacking some like beach Nazis?
Sure.
And then there was a young boy, and they're like, well, we can't kill him, but what if we make him one of us? Maybe?
Which Star probably talked them into.
Right.
That would, yeah.
Leave it to Star.
That's maybe in the comic book.
She's bringing home strays. John, what are you going to give it for themes of mothers?
I think there's a lot of mother, but it's not like a huge, huge theme of the movie, so I'm going to give it a 6.
A 6. I'm going to give it a 7 because I do think Diane Weiss is one of the highlights of this movie. Sure. At least for me, that's my personal opinion. Don't come at me. All right. Our next
All those Diane Weiss anti-stans will be coming at you.
I don't know why they're listening to this podcast. Save it for Chapo Trap House. I don't know how they feel about Diane Weiss. All right. Our next category, dramatic smoking. There is the stereo kill.
Stereo kill. Also, Kiefer Sutherland's skin smokes when it hits
that's
the sunlight.
Right. Oh, yeah. And he cries. That's dramatic.
That's a sure sign of drama.
The fire,
someone's crying. You know there's drama.
The fireplace entrance.
Yes.
True.
But no there's like
no
smoking cigarettes
or, anything, or pipes or anything. Like grandpa. Oh, that grandpa does grow weed.
He's growing weed.
He never smokes it.
We don't
never
see it,
smokes
yeah.
it.
Well, it's implied that he's always not. He's always feeling the effects, I suppose. Mm-hmm. That's Santa Cruz for you.
I'm going to give it a 5.
5. You know,
oh,
one
because there's
thing,
a lot of like the fog when they fall off the bridge.
Sure, that's true. Like, yeah,
smoking, roiling fog. Yeah. I was just going to say, so we went to the beach boardwalk last summer, 2019, and I'm happy to say it looks exactly the same. It hasn't changed at all. But it's a blast. God. I think it's my top, one of my top destinations for once this is over.
I feel bad. Two of our best friends left LA 2 years ago to move to Santa Cruz for a job, and we haven't gone up to visit them yet. I've never been to Santa Cruz, and I
you should
go.
It's a blast.
So great.
Yeah,
it's like a better Venice. It's like less gross Venice.
Yeah.
Still a little rough around the edges. Gotta have a little bit of an edge. John, what are you going to give it for dramatic smoking?
I'll give it a 5 as well.
A 5. 5 sounds good to me. All for that stereo, essentially. Giving an average of 5. All right, next one. I think it might do very well here. Quips. How quippy is The Lost Boys?
I mean, for Corey Haim and Corey Feldman's banter alone. It's very quippy.
And I did think like Corey Haim is like really good in this. Am I crazy?
He's really good.
He's really funny.
There's, you know, no pun intended. There's a hamminess about him. He's Corey Haim is hammy.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's really good.
Joel Schumacher once told Minnie Driver, because she said an actress, she overheard an actress complaining about Minnie Driver's performance and something that she was being over the top. And then I guess Joel Schumacher just rolled his eyes and said, honey, no one ever paid for under the top.
Ooh.
Now there's a quip.
Now there's a quip.
We'll give Joe Mocker, Schumacher some points for that quip, even though it had nothing to do with this movie, but sure.
Thank you.
I'm going to give it an 8.
An 8.
Yeah.
I'll go
because I like the final line of the movie, Grandpa's final line. That's the thing I've hated about Santa Clara is all the damn vampires.
Right?
It ends with a quip.
And I love that it's just like blackout after that. You know
what I mean? Literally the movie.
With the
just
light
ends.
Of the refrigerator door closing and them in there. It's such a great ending.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go 7.
7. Not as quippy as Mermaids.
Mm. Okay. I don't have those scores right in front of me, so I can't tell you.
Well, you gave Mermaids a 9 in quips.
I'm sure it was quippier.
I'm going to give it an 8 as well. Okay, we're in the home stretch, Todd. Don't you worry. Thank you for sticking with us.
Yeah.
This is the iconic categories.
So these are 3 big categories. They're sort of umbrella categories. We're back to 0 to 100 for these categories.
Okay.
So the first one is homoeroticism. How would you rate The Lost Boys in homoeroticism?
100.
I mean, just that motorcycle chase. There's like, when they're shooting them back to back, it is almost like they're mounting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta go. It's also like, cause like there's definitely times you're like, are these two brothers? Like that seems like they're like very sort of like flirting with each other.
They're
because
just,
there's no like out and out two people who are gay. I'm going to give it a 97.
But it is like homoeroticism. You know what I mean? It's
I agree.
Like a hint. It's the tease.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's also like at the end, like Jason Patrick defeats Kiefer Sutherland by becoming the top finally. Like he asserts his dominance finally. And then Kiefer is the one who is penetrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Impaling him on horns. I mean,
thank you. A little on the nose.
Yeah, exactly.
My blood is in your veins. You're one of us.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole thing has a very homosexual energy. Oh, it's also 100%. Joel Schumacher.
Yeah.
100%, but you gave it 97. Interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it 100. I think this is homoerotic.
Yeah.
What we mean? All right. Next category, camp factor. How would you rate it in camp factor?
Another 100%. It's so campy. Just the fashion alone. I think it's 100% camp. Because I feel like, again, I was a child, but I feel like in the 80s, no one actually dressed like that all the time. Especially the vampires. No one wore that much leather, but also with like necklaces glued everywhere and shoulder pads and mullets. And, you know, like, I feel like there was just too much drag to it for it to be day wear. I think it's totally campy. And it's vampires, you know, it's a horror shtick.
Right.
Horror shtick is always campy.
John.
Yeah, I think it's pretty damn campy. But because I'm gonna give it a 99.
99? Mm-hmm. This is up there with Female Trouble.
Yeah.
I have a quick list of the campy things I noticed. Okay, here we go. A fight on a merry-go-round, having the name Carla airbrushed on a pink t-shirt, beachside comic book stores, storing Christmas ornaments in the garage, a hippie chick named Star, thinking Jim Morrison is some kind of genius, whoever decided to stop putting missing kids on milk cartons, turning an empty bottle of Bailey's into a candle holder, making love to cry little sister, Diane Weiss having to outrun a rabid dog. It feels very correct that the Michael and Star love story should be the least interesting part. Convertibles, whimsical weather vanes and wind chimes, a poster for the Wendy O. Williams Star Vehicle Reform School Girls. And this was Diane Weiss' film after winning the Best Supporting Actress Oscar for Hannah and Her Sisters. A real punchy final line, highly stylized productions, designs, and costumes, glitter in the blood, and it's the origin film of the Corys. That said, this isn't the campiest thing I've ever seen. So I'm going to give it a 90. I think it is pretty campy, though. It's pretty great. Give it an average of 96.33, which is the highest we've had in the last 9 movies. All right. Last one in the iconic categories. Over-the-top wardrobe.
Again.
I mean, yeah.
100%. Like 100 for me, just because I literally dream about Corey Haim's clothes in this movie. Like,
do you want to wear them?
Yes, I want. I want that linen trench coat.
I don't frame them. I don't know.
I want that trench coat so bad. I want that Born to Shop shirt.
I liked the one, color block the button up camping themed shirt. That was really my aesthetic.
Yes.
But I think even like Edward Herman was like, he would look like he was like, you know, like his outfits were too insane.
Yeah.
They're great.
I also love Jason Patrick's clothes, just his like all American black leather jacket that he bought on the boardwalk from like a black leather jacket booth.
There are not there. Yeah. You know what they didn't show? The taffy store. That's what they didn't show.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, do they really, like, I've never been, you know, part of a pier community. I guess I've gone to Santa Monica Pier, but like, is having a rack of leather jackets for sale on the boardwalk, is that a thing?
Not that I'm aware of. Seems like a Long Island thing, maybe. Yeah. But I've never
New
been.
Jersey. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, there you go. New Jersey Pier. Mm-hmm. There's also like the Frog Brothers. Like, they stick to their military look the whole time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
John, what are you going to give it for over-the-top wardrobe?
I will give it a, because no one's like in drag, I'll give it a 94.
94. Yeah, I guess like, because I gave Edward Scissorhands 100 and that has Edward Scissorhands. I'm going to give this a 98. Give an All average right. of 97.33, which is wow, almost 80 points more than the Silence of the Lambs in the same category. All right. Finally, we're into the crown jewels.
So these categories we all agree on. There's no like different score. It's either yes or no. These categories, it gets it or it doesn't.
Great.
All right. The first one, 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does The Lost Boys have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
Well, it doesn't specifically have a negative portrayal of it.
Doesn't have a negative.
Well, it's not. Yeah. It definitely has like a fun portrayal. Like, imagine if you could have had, like, remember that one summer where we were all vampires on the beach? You would look back on that summer with so much, like, love and wistfulness. But they also, like, aren't, like, on the nose homosexual. Is about? Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to say yes, because no one has ever called a fag, and it's about boys being together all the time. But there is no gay sex.
I guess like the lack of slurs to me doesn't make it a positive. It's like neutral to me. This one's more neutral. But though it is directed by Joel Schumacher, which in a way is its own positive portrayal, because this great gay man made this amazing fun movie that the whole family could enjoy.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty gay movie.
While still
at that.
Being a very gay movie.
Yeah.
I think it's closer to yes than it is to no.
What do you think, John?
It's actually like closer to no, just because they're not actually like those characters are gay at any point.
That's the thing. No one's out of the closet
gay. Like, I don't think you can have like no gay actors playing gay, or you can't have a lack of actual gay characters and then actually.
But I feel it's weird. This category is almost moot because there are no gay characters.
Right.
So.
I know.
I feel like if you hear the name of the category and then you hear the word no, that means it's bad.
It's just like getting
also, this is also a bonus. It's another bonus one. So it's not like it's going to get penalized.
True.
Penalized.
I don't know. What do you think, Mark?
I think no. And I love this movie. I love Joel Schumacher, as we know.
Yes.
I think we should do a retrospective soon.
Can't
get
wait.
St. Elmo's Fire.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
We'll see what you think of Phantom of the Opera. Oh, you want to skip that one. Interesting.
I've seen it. It's boring. That music. And I blame the music. The music is dull.
It's not just the
dull.
Music.
Okay. I saw that show on Broadway. With like one of the famous phantoms who I do not remember who, but I fell asleep hard.
Billy
Zane.
Happened,
hard.
Yeah.
Oh. And then when I saw the movie, I also fell asleep. Do not have the attention span for that.
No.
Sure.
I feel like Joel Schumacher is best like mid-level. You know what I mean? Let him plus Flatliners, another one. That's
sure,
a fun one.
Yeah.
But I think no for positive portrayal. It's not anti, it's not homophobic by any means.
Right.
It's very gay, but will you be deeply disappointed by that, Todd? Are you okay with that?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, good.
I would just like to publicly distance myself from this comment, though.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
So,
we can distort your voice when we do the podcast.
And then finally, -50% if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so I don't think it will not be penalized 50% of its points.
Oh, no. Good.
All right, that is it. We have reached the end, Todd. So now how do you think you did, now that we've been through all the categories?
I feel pretty happy with everything we went through today.
Still think you're going to come in fourth?
Oh, just the horror movies, he said.
Right.
Honestly, I think, well, I don't know, because we had a couple zeros, but those were bonus questions. I'm going to say that we did better than Ginger Snaps.
Okay.
John, how do you think it did?
My guess is that it might have beaten Interview with the Vampire. I think it's like one or two of the horror movies.
Okay, well, you're both way off. Out of a total possible 2,723.82 points, The Lost Boys has scored 2,320.49 points, giving it a percentage of 85.19, making it the second gayest movie of all time. Not as gay as Female Trouble, but gayer than Clue.
Wow.
So you blew all the other movies out of the water, except for Female Trouble.
Wow.
Congratulations. That's exciting. That's major,
Todd. Thank
you. What a rush.
I was honestly surprised to even make the board, let alone second.
No, and honestly, that feels right to me.
It does feel right,
boys. I feel like we did it correct. We were all fair.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Although I did want to do Interview with the Vampire. That was like, when I think about gay movies, gay horror. But I also don't really consider Interview as a horror movie.
It's more like a drama, costume drama.
Yeah.
Well, Lost Boys is certainly more fun and more like camp. Interview with the Vampire is like one of the first things like, and vampires are tortured and sad romantics. I'm like, that's not fun.
Boring.
There's enough exploding vampires in this. No one really explodes in Interview with the Vampire, you know?
Just
Kirsten Dunst has like a temper tantrum.
She just smokes like the end of a cigarette. Like she's just an ash that gets blown away.
Todd, you did it. You crushed it.
Yay, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Needed this W today, you guys.
We did it. We've reached the, is there anything you would like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Please just follow Gay Fat Friend on TikTok or on Instagram if you have those social media apps on your phone.
I would say it's an essential follow.
Please. I have nothing else. So please.
That's enough. I say that's enough.
Just stay tuned to those. Stay tuned to those handles. You never know what might come next.
Oh, exciting.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here. A pure delight and a great movie.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll be right back. We're back.
Second place, John.
Second place. That's so exciting. I mean, it makes sense.
Of course.
Yeah.
I wish if you had scored Batman Forever like this, it'd be a different story.
Well, Batman Forever did not deserve to be scored like Lost Boys
did.
No, it did not. No,
it's not as good, but
it is not as good. Thank you.
But it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I do get a rush when there's like big shakeups like that.
It's fun.
It is fun.
I can't imagine, Female Trouble is going to get dethroned at any point.
It'd have to be like Pink Flamingos.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the only thing.
Waters would have to outdo himself. But yeah, like a new second place.
I did just order a movie. This is apropos of nothing. I did just order a movie called, just based on the trailer, I pre-ordered the Blu-ray. And it's from 1970. It's made in Florida, very low budget. It's called Sometimes Aunt Martha Does Dreadful Things.
Ooh.
Have you heard of this?
I have not.
It's a very low budget, rarely seen movie about two men on the run from the law. And one of them dresses up as Aunt Martha when they're on the run. And is also very codependent. They sleep in the same bed together.
Okay.
It's amazing. And there's like a bonus. One of the bonus features is a 45-minute documentary of this like drag show in 1970 Tennessee.
Oh my God, I want to see that.
Doesn't that sound fun?
how fun is it? How nice would it be to live in a time where you could write a movie where it was just like, and to throw off the cops, he dresses as his Aunt Martha. Like, and that's all you needed. People were like, I'll pay for that script.
I know. I wish we could have regressive ideas about genders.
Well, you know,
Nuns on the Run.
Yeah, exactly.
We got a question from Instagram.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's from Ben Beck.
Okay.
He and his wife said, hey, Queens.
Hey.
I don't think that's your used word.
You're fine, Ben.
My wife and I would love to hear your thoughts on Tremors. What do you say? Kevin Bacon and tight dungarees? Have you seen Tremors, John? You have any idea what we're talking about?
I know the movie. I know like the video box.
The video image. Box.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it, but.
You've never seen Tremors?
I don't think so.
It's a hoot.
Okay.
Reba McEntire. I told him I thought it's pretty gay. It's got Reba McEntire as like a gun-toting like a survivalist.
Oh, that's pretty gay.
Her and Michael Gross, the dad from Family Ties, are the survivalists. Yeah, yeah. It's a small Arizona town where there's these giant sandworms underneath the ground.
Okay.
Sandworms, pretty phallic.
Pretty phallic.
Reba McEntire. So I love it.
I mean, it sounds like it has all the
Fred ingredients. Ward.
Okay.
Now I got your attention. Do you know who Fred Ward is?
That it's not Burt Ward, who is Robin.
Oh, wow.
Who's Fred Ward? No, the name is familiar.
Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins. Does that mean anything to you?
No, it does not. You just said a whole lot of gibberish.
That's the name of the movie.
Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
You never saw that movie? That's another 80s. It's terrible, but I used to love it.
Okay.
Joel Grey plays a very offensive Asian character.
I know. Oh, okay. Well, here we go. Now we know really why you love it. Yeah.
No, you're the one only digging 3 points for racial insensitivity.
So. No, I said, that's not
that's
what
exactly
happened.
What that is exactly what happened. Check
right.
The tapes.
Check the tapes. well, it sounds like it could be gay. Sounds like it could be pretty gay.
It's gay adjacent.
All right.
I would say. You should watch Tremors, though. That'd be a fun Halloween one. It's more action adventure than horror.
Okay, cool. I'll put it on the mix. So what do we think of this since we're actually at the end of Five Cold Screams? So we got some pretty strong contenders. Like how many of the movies, like one of the entries is now number two.
One of the entries is number two. The next second of the new ones was Hellbound Hellraiser. Two,
what number is that?
Which has 70 points. That is now the 16th gayest movie.
Okay. That's pretty decent. That's
time.
Good. Yeah. Top 20.
And then we got, I'm scrolling, Midsommar with the 58.84 is 31st. Mm-hmm. The Brood, 51.83 with a 38%. The Shining, 49.86, the 41st gay. This all seems right to me.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one? What else did we do? Was that it?
It was five, yeah.
Someone screaming. That was five? Okay. Yeah, but I'm very excited for Lost Boys. I think it's always exciting when the top five gets
a new
shook up.
Fresh blood, as it were. Ironic.
John, you're a real wordsmith.
Wordplay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was exciting.
It is exciting. If you guys have any questions for us or anything you want to email us or let us know or share in our excitement, you can email us at 2oldqueens, that's twooldqueens@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at 2oldqueens, twooldqueens. You can follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the rankings of all the movies and the categories and guests that were submitted that movie.
If you want to buy some merch, we've got a store, TeePublic. You can go to TeePublic and search for 2oldqueens. Also, link is in our show notes. And we also have a Patreon. If you want more of this, you can go over to Patreon, 2oldqueens, the retirement plan, we call it. And right now we are finishing up an 8-episode examination of the Nightmare on Elm Street films to figure out what is the gayest Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Or as you're probably saying to yourself, what is the second gayest Nightmare on Elm Street movie?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's it. Well, thanks. We don't know what the movie is for next week. But
we do, I thought.
Do we?
Isn't it Death Becomes Her?
Oh, it's Death Becomes Her. Sorry, I forgot. Sorry.
Do you want to do that again or just keep it as it is?
I don't know.
But you've seen, which is another movie I have not seen, but you have seen.
Which is crazy to me that you've never seen Death Becomes Her.
It's one of those movies and people find that out about me. They're like, you're a gay person. I'm very likely to recommend this movie to you. So yeah, so I'm looking forward to doing that.
Although it is directed by a straight man.
No, what can you do?
So I think that will be reflected in the scoring if I had to predict.
Okay, well.
But no one does unintentional camp better than straight guys.
That's true.
great, but that's it for us. Well, thank you so much for listening. Stay safe.
Yeah, see you
next time. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, that's right. Goodbye. Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Archer and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye. Whitney didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.